We are reading today from Canto 4, Chapter 30, entitled The Activities of the Prachetas, Text Number 22. The sons of King Prachinibarhishat, known as the Prachetas, have performed long duration of time of severe austerities on the direction of Lord Shiva, who is their guru. They have been chanting this mantra, which is a prayer submitting themselves to the mercy of the Lord, glorifying the unlimited qualities of the Lord. They perform their tapasya at the bottom of ocean for about 10,000 years. Very severe austerity. Lord Vishnu personally appeared before them. And they are, in this first of a series of prayers they're offering to the Lord, expressing a very, very deep and sublime realization. That we cannot attain Krishna by our own efforts. There are not too many people in today's world that can exert the effort that they did 10,000 years in the bottom of the ocean in rapt meditation, offering mantras. But they understand that it's not due to their austerities, it's not due to their knowledge, it is only due to the mercy of the Lord that they are able to see him as he is. Bhaktya tvananyaya shakya aham evam vidurjana kyatam drastam chatatvena praveshtam chaparantava. Sri Bhagavad Gita describes that it is only by undivided devotion that I can be seen as I am. There is no other way. Because Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Truth, is transcendental to the modes of material nature. Tribir gunamayar bhavaya. Therefore, there is no material means of having access to Krishna. Krishna's personality is transcendental. Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha. He is eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. With these eyes of flesh, we cannot see the unlimited spirit. With the material senses, we cannot see what is beyond the material elements. Material elements can only see, can only perceive material elements. But Krishna is transcendental. Bhakto sime rahasyesi. Krishna says to Arjuna, you can only understand me. You can only understand even proper knowledge of me because you are my devotee. So when Srila Prabhupada came to the Western world, there was over 100 editions of Bhagavad Gita translated into English and other languages. But Prabhupada concluded that there isn't a single one by which understanding one can know Krishna. Because not a single edition taught pure unalloyed devotional service. That is essentially the only purpose of Bhagavad Gita, to bring us to that point. Although there were in fact so many millions of people reading Bhagavad Gita in this world, outside of India, not a single one of them came to the conclusion that they should surrender to Krishna. Although Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Parityaja, you must surrender to me. Man mana bhava mad bhakto, you must remember me. But if you read so many Gitas, you will find nobody is teaching that. How is it possible? Raja vidya raja kuyam pavitram itamutamam pratyakshavakamam dharmam shushukam karatam abhyam. Krishna says, this is the king of knowledge. It's also the most secret of all secrets. What kind of secret is this? There's hundreds of millions of Bhagavad Gitas in print all over the world. Is that how you keep a secret? But Krishna says it's the most secret of all secrets. Because although the text is there, nobody can understand what it really means. Unless they receive the mercy of the Lord. Everyone has their own opinion. Everyone has their own conception. But what is Krishna's idea? That's what Bhagavad Gita is all about. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Krishna is speaking. What does he intend for us to learn? No one even had an idea that Krishna is the Supreme Person. We should always remember him. Whatever we do, we should do for him, and we should surrender to him. Yat karoshi rashnashi yajdrohoshi dadasi yat yatapashyasi kvante yatat kurushu madarpanam. Krishna says, all that you do, all that you offer and give away, all austerities you perform should be done as an offering to me. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvata. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my loving service and worship me with all their hearts. Who is doing? Someone is teaching it means nonviolence. Someone is teaching means you should meditate silently and hear some impersonal mantra in your heart. Someone else is saying that ultimately you are God, I am God, everything is God. That is the conclusion of Gita. Where does it say? Where does it indicate that? So Prabhupada named his Gita as it is, Bhagavad Gita as it is, simply presenting what Krishna said. Evam parampara praptam idam rajashayavaru. Krishna says, you must accept this knowledge in disciplic succession. And Bhakto Simi, he says that you can only understand this knowledge, Arjuna, because you are not envious, because you are my devotee and my friend. What does it mean to be a devotee? It means to submit oneself with humility before God. To depend on the mercy of the Lord. We cannot understand the truth through the ascending process. This is described by Prachetas. We may have intellectual abilities, but Krishna is faster than the speed of mind. Therefore, you can never catch him with your mind. You can never catch him with your intelligence. You can study scriptures, memorize them for millions of births, and never realize what is the conclusion. And Krishna, he is faster than the fastest. Parasuram, when he was fighting against Kartavirya-Arjuna and his armies, it described that he began his fight, his axe, which was in his hand, was moving faster than the speed of mind.
We can annihilate a lot of warriors with that speed. And then after many hours, he got tired and slowed down to the speed of the raging wind.
So Krishna's transcendental. There's no material effort by which Krishna can be seen or known. Because Krishna is the controller of all controllers, Sarveshwareshwara. Because Krishna, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, his abode are purely of spiritual nature. They cannot be perceived with blunt material mind or senses. It is simply impossible by our own efforts. But because Krishna is avijña, swarat, he is all-knowing and independent, he can reveal himself according to his own sweet will. Krishna can manifest himself in such a way that we can see him with our eyes, we can hear him with our ears, we can taste him with our tongue. It's not the eyes, the ears, and the tongue. Krishna reciprocates with the heart. If we have faith, if we have devotion, if we have humility, if we please him by our life, our words, then Krishna reveals himself to us as he is. That is the process of devotional service. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the southern part of India, he met some very, very learned and very saintly persons. They were worshipped by so many millions of people. And Lord Chaitanya had conversation with them. He asked them, what is the goal of life and how to achieve it? And their response was, by performing our activities according to the Varnashram system, we can actually attain Krishna consciousness. And Lord Chaitanya said, no. You can perform your Varnashram duties, birth after birth after birth, and no doubt you can be elevated through the modes of material nature. But the only way we can understand the Supreme Absolute Truth as a person, Bhagavan, is through the nine processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting his glories. Always remembering him. So the criteria of success for a Vaishnava is whether Krishna is pleased or not. Because if Krishna is not pleased, it does not matter what we do, what we say, or what the results may be by material standards, we have failed. You can't buy Krishna. You can give millions and millions of dollars in donations to build temples, to feed poor, to build hospitals. But if Krishna is not pleased, you can't buy Krishna with money. He does not need your money. When Krishna came to this world, he just demonstrated a small fraction of his supreme opulence of wealth. When he decided to move from Mathura to Dwarka, it's not that they had all kinds of construction teams working and making all kinds of noise to build 16,108 palaces, each one more beautiful than Indra's in heaven. It was built within a day or so.
Even Lord Brahma came down to Dwarka to see the incredible wealth that Krishna possessed. On this little island, which is just west of Gujarat, by today's geographical designations. So quite incredible. Krishna simply by his will created all these 16,108 palaces. And in the Vaikuntha worlds, even the opulences of the heavenly planets, which are billions of times greater than this earth planet, are insignificant. So if we give a $10 or $100 or $1 million or $1 billion, it means nothing to Krishna. Because he is the proprietor of all wealth. It all belongs to him. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. As far as knowledge, Vedaham Samatitani Bharatamanani Charjana Babashani Chabutani Mantu Vedana Kashtana. Krishna says, I know everything, past, present, and future. I know all living beings. There's nothing that I don't know. He's the source of all knowledge. Vedaish Chasara Verahameva Vedyo Vedanta Krit Veda Vedeva Chaham. Krishna says, I'm the knower of the Vedas. I'm the compiler of the Vedas. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. So by becoming a learned scholar, are we going to please Krishna? By speaking nice words of knowledge, by memorizing, is that going to please Krishna? Does he need that from us? Does he forget the Vedas that we have to speak to remind him? And as far as austerities, Krishna, some people, they perform severe austerities. But does that please Krishna? What does he need from us? When he was in his form of Nara Narayan Rishi, he performed such tapasya nobody could understand. Even Indra was trembling in fear what tapasya he's performing. You cannot bribe Krishna. You cannot influence Krishna by any material efforts. However, if there is sincere devotion, if there is a sincere and genuine desire to please him, honest desire, then Krishna, by his own sweet will, he becomes conquered by that. This is the greatest, most wonderful mystery in all of creation. How the Supreme, All-Powerful One is conquered by the simple and sincere love of his devotee. When Krishna was in Mathura, there was a asura, a yavana asura named Kaliyavana. And he really wanted to fight Krishna. And so it is said Krishna came out, he had large, large Akshohini divisions of soldiers ready to fight with Krishna. And he challenged. Krishna came out from Mathura and walked. Hare Krishna. So Kaliyavana, he was a powerful asura. He was a king. He was physically fit. Like no one in this world can be. He began to speak very, very challenging, harsh words toward Krishna. And Krishna just walked by him. He ran. He was running as fast as he could run. And Krishna was walking. Casually. He was running and Krishna was walking. And Kaliyavana, he was a powerful person. If he were in the Olympic Games today, with his strength and speed, he would have won the gold medal for every single contest. He wasn't these Kali Yuga athletes that If they just make the wrong move, their ankles are sprained or their knees have problems. He wasn't like that. He was a mystic yogi. So when he was really running, practically like the speed of the wind. And Krishna was walking, and he couldn't catch up to him. For miles and miles and miles he was running after Krishna, and he couldn't catch up with him. Then Krishna went into a cave. Kaliyavana was in this dark cave, and he saw someone sleeping. And then he was really insulted. Then I'm such a kshatriya, I'm undefeated. And here I challenged him and he's going to sleep. What an insult. Can you imagine? It's so fearless. You consider a person so completely insignificant. The person challenges you to fight to death. He has all kinds of weapons. He says, I'm going to kill you right now, and then you go to sleep. It's really an insult. It's like, you know, who needs you? What can you do? So he was so angry, he kicked that sleeping person. He thought it was Krishna. But actually it was Muchukunda, a great king who fought for the demigods for a long time. And he gave up all his sleeping to fight for the demigods. So the demigods offered him, what benediction do you like? He said, grant me the benediction that whoever tries to wake me up from my sleep, that I'll burn them to ashes by my glance. I just want to go to sleep. Now, if you were to get the demigods, Indra, Vayu, Agni, Varuna, they say, any benediction you want, Kuvera, what do you like? Would you ask to go to sleep? You can understand how much that man was tired. He was really tired. Just let me sleep as long as I want to sleep. He was given excuse. He did not have to rise for Mangal Arati or anything. He could just sleep, authorized by the devatas. So Kaliyavana kicked him, and he got up and looked in directions and saw this Yavana and burned him to ashes by his glance. And then he saw Krishna standing there smiling. You see, because he was a Yavana, Krishna didn't want to touch him. So he had, and Muchukunda didn't even have to touch him. He did it with his glance. His glance rays. And also Muchukunda was a great devotee, and he was sleeping for a long time. And enough is enough. And what do you do when you're sleeping? So much wonderful service Krishna wanted him to perform, so somehow he woke him up. And Krishna didn't want to go against the benediction of the demigods. Anyone who tried to wake him up would be burned to ashes. So let this demon, who should die anyway. Krishna is very expert. But from this story we can see such a powerful yogi running as fast as he could toward Krishna to catch him. And Krishna just casually walking could not be reached. Because he had no devotion. But in Vrindavan, the little cowherd boys, they weren't Kaliyavanas or Jarasandha. Same thing with Jarasandha. He was chasing after Krishna and Balaram, and they just walked away, and he chased and he ran with all of his armies. They had horses and elephants, fastly trying to race after Krishna, and he just walked up into a mountain, and they couldn't catch him. But in Vrindavan, little cowherd boys, they would be in the pasture grounds, herding the calves. And one would say, I will be the first to touch Krishna. And another would say, no, I will be the first to touch Krishna. And another said, oh, you wait and see, I will be the first to touch Krishna. And they would all be running to touch Krishna.
and they would all touch Krishna. Who won? They all won. Everyone won. Krishna can be touched by unlimited people simultaneously, and everyone wins. That is Krishna.
Yashoda Mai, when Krishna was stealing the butter.
Here is the absolute truth, the Supreme Lord, the source of Narasingha Dev, the source of Sri Ram, the source of Parasaram, the source of Mahavishnu, whom all universes are emanating simply by his breathing. How great is Krishna? He's in Yoga Nidra. That means he's semi-sleeping, and he creates the entire universal existence. What can you create when you're asleep? Hare Krishna. Everything within all the universes and all of creation is created by Krishna when he's laying down sleeping. So, Yashoda Mai, in order to show the principle that it is only by devotion that I can be known as I am. I can only be captured by the simple, loving heart of my devotee. So he was in the role of a little child, just walking, just coming out of his crawling stages. This is amazing. Nanda Maharaj would try to teach Krishna how to walk. He would hold his finger out, and little Gopal would just hold onto his finger and somehow try to walk, and then he'd fall down. Nanda Maharaj would laugh, "Oh, please hold my finger and pick him up." So the absolute truth in one of his plenary portions of Ananta Shesha, he's holding entire universes on the hoods of his head. The all-powerful. He's the strength of the strong, the ability in man. But he can't walk. Hare Krishna, without the help of his devotee. So Gopal, sometimes he would steal butter from gopis. Just learn to walk. He would just run very nicely. And some people, they consider, why is this Krishna performing these immoral activities? People who have less intelligence. Avajananti mamudha manusintanamashata. Parambhavam ajananto mamabhuta maheshwaram. Fools deride me when I descend in this human form. They think I'm ordinary, like them. They do not understand my supreme position and my dominion over all that be. Krishna is sometimes accused of being unethical. He dances with gopis who are sometimes not married. During Ras Lila, when he danced, there were tens and thousands of gopis. Some were the wives of others. So even a great commentator of Bhagavad Gita, he actually explained that I really can't accept Krishna as a supreme worshipable Lord, because why would he dance with other men's wives in the middle of the night? This means they don't understand anything what is Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is Purusha. He is a supreme enjoyer. Everything that exists is Prakriti. It is meant for his enjoyment. Krishna is the complete whole. Every living being is his infinitesimal part and parcel. Everything is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. Everything is Krishna's.
Krishna is in fact the supreme husband of every living being. What's unethical is you think your wife is yours. You're enjoying Krishna's property. Hare Krishna. That's the proper perspective. They're thinking Krishna's enjoying somebody else's property. No, Krishna's enjoying his property. He created them for him. And the ecstasy of love is the relationship between the soul and Krishna. And if we think anybody is ours to enjoy, we are unethical. And Krishna's Makanchora. He's butter thief. So people say, why are you stealing butter? Does he need butter? That's what he told his mother. He would steal the butter. Say, why did you steal butter? I didn't steal it. You think I need butter? I don't need any of your butter. But actually he does. The gopis would complain to Yashoda. How this Gopal is stealing our butter. We don't know what to do. He comes in, breaks the butter pots, steals the butter so many ways. If it's night, somehow or other, he illuminates all directions with his effulgence. When we keep the butter hanging on ropes in the ceiling, he stacks up boxes and gets on the shoulders of his friends and takes a stick and pokes the bottom of the pot and all the butter comes out. Not only does he eat it, but then he invites all the monkeys into our house and distributes prasad. And somehow or other, if we hide our butter so nicely that he can't find it, then he becomes angry with us and passes urine and stool on our floor. Now, how many times in your life have you passed urine and stool? Seriously, ask this question. Do you have any idea? Can you even calculate? And who talks about it? Who cares about it? Krishna did it once, 5,000 years ago, and we're still shedding tears of ecstasy when we hear about it. That's the difference between Krishna and us. Krishna is the supreme, all-attractive personality of Godhead. Whatever he does is all-attractive. Whatever he does is for the ultimate welfare of all living beings. Sometimes Krishna would be more naughty when he'd be stealing butter, and he'd pour drops of water in the ears of the sleeping babies and make them cry. So Yashoda Mai was looking at Krishna, why you are doing like this? And he said, no, they are all telling lies. I didn't do any of these things. And he would just look so innocent and so fearful. It melt the heart of Yashoda. She couldn't punish him. She just couldn't do it as soon as she looked at his face. No, Mata, not me. Why would I do that? So much butter I have at home. Why would I go to their house? Sometimes when they would catch him, he would fall at their feet and cry, please don't tell my mother. I promise I will not come back. Just let me go this one time. Yashoda Mai said to gopis, all right, then I will keep Krishna at home. They said, no, don't do that, don't do that. Then they had to confess, the only reason we make our butter is with the hope Krishna will come to steal it. Otherwise, we have no reason to live. That was their life. Everything belongs to Krishna. If they make it with enough devotion, Krishna will come and steal it. If Krishna didn't come and steal their butter, they were thinking that their life was wasted. What is the use of butter if it's not for the pleasure of Krishna? So when Krishna steals his pastime, he is the proprietor of everything. He's not stealing. If you eat butter or you eat anything without first offering a devotion, you are a thief. So one time, on the day of Diwali, in the month of Kartik, Krishna got up in the early morning. He heard Yashoda Mai churning the butter and singing beautiful songs of Krishna's pastimes. In Vrindavan, whatever pastimes Krishna would perform in a day, the cowherd boys would come back from the pastures and tell all the residents of Vrindavan, Vrijabasis, what Krishna did today, which demons he killed today, what games he played today. That was their nourishment. When he was in the pasture ground with the gopas, a moment seemed like 12 years or more. A moment seemed like millenniums in separation. All the residents of Vrindavan, they would just be just watching the horizon, waiting to see the dust of the cow's hooves coming back to Nandagaon. Then Krishna Balaram and the gopas would return. And all day long they were simply performing various offerings to please Krishna when he returned. And all day long they would be singing the pastimes that Krishna would perform, especially the day before, that they would hear from gopas. They would come back. Oh, you know what happened today? We went to this forest called Talavan, and these big, big asses, gigantic asses, Denukasura came and Krishna and Balaram whirled them around and threw them into the trees, and they all died. Now let's all go and eat the tal fruits. So these wonderful pastimes, the games that they would play, that was the only way they survived, by remembering Krishna, by chanting his glories. So Yashoda Mai, as soon as she would wake up, she would just start singing about Krishna's pastimes that she would see with her eyes and hear from the other residents of Vrindavan. The scriptures tell us that Krishna is none different than his name. Krishna is none different than his pastimes. Krishna is absolute. He can reciprocate with us from within our heart. In any type of miraculous way he so desires. If we remember the pastimes, the teachings, or the form or qualities of Krishna within our heart, Krishna manifests himself in our heart. He manifests his pastimes, his qualities, and his form. There is no difference. It is described here by the Prachetas that Krishna's all-auspicious name can relieve one of all distress. If we simply take the name of Krishna with a sincere and devoted heart, Krishna manifests his form, his qualities, his associates, his abode, his pastimes, all from his name. That is Krishna's power. So as Yashoda was singing the glories of Krishna and churning the butter, Krishna woke up and he was hungry. He started pulling Yashoda Mai's sari. Pulling. That you are churning butter, but I am hungry. Everything is ultimately for me. Haribo, that is love. So she stopped churning and she offered Krishna the milk from her own breast, and he was drinking very nicely. But meanwhile, she was cooking some milk on the stove for Krishna. Not ordinary milk, but Padmaganda milk. This milk was the best of all milk. Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 cows, but only a few of them did Yashoda Mai personally take care of. She personally would grow the ultimate, most nectarine grass. Every blade of grass was like nectar. It had such a sweet, intoxicating fragrance and flavor. And she would feed these few choice, the best of the cows, this special grass. And from that, she would get the best milk. The reason is this, because Krishna would go to other gopis' houses and steal milk, steal butter, steal ghee, steal yogurt. So Yashoda Maya is thinking, maybe Krishna's not satisfied with mine. He's going to everyone else's house. She made a concentrated effort to make the most delicious butter in all of creation. And she did. So it was that milk that she was boiling. It is explained that that milk was seen, that Krishna's drinking the milk from Yashoda Mai, and Yashoda Mai's devotion will make that milk so ecstatically nectarine that Krishna will never stop drinking it. There's no limitation to bhakti. Yashoda Mai can give unlimited milk eternally. And Krishna can drink unlimited milk eternally because it is all based on the principle of pure love. So the milk on the stove was thinking that I have no reason to live. Krishna's never going to drink me. He's drinking Yashoda's milk. What's the use of life if Krishna's not going to accept me? Therefore, I will commit suicide. So the milk actually made a suicide attempt. It boiled over and started jumping into the fire. In the Vedic times, this was the idea of suicide. I will enter into fire. So the milk was thinking, I will enter into fire. Krishna will never take me. So as it was boiling over, Yashoda Maya immediately put down Krishna to save the milk. Why? Because it was for Krishna. And Krishna was... any priority in life above me? He wanted to teach the world we cannot do like this. There is no priority above service to Krishna. Actually, our spiritual life is based on the priorities that we make. Krishna is within the heart. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridayesha janatishti. He's watching. And ultimately, he's reciprocating with our desires. Now, one of the most important aspects of sincerity is our priorities. If we make anything a priority over Krishna's pleasure, then Krishna will let us go on in this material world. Krishna must be our first priority. Krishna is our eternal father, our eternal mother. Krishna's our everything. If we put our wealth, our occupation, our ambitions, our families, anything above Krishna, another birth you'll have to take in this material world to serve the temporary, fallible objects of material existence. No doubt we should be responsible in our occupation, responsible to our families, but why? For the service of Krishna. Everything will perish. Prabhupada explains all of our attachments within this entire life are like foaming bubbles in the ocean of material existence. At any moment, they will burst into oblivion. And we're taking it all so seriously. A mother and a father must give love, attention, and affection to a child. Why? Because it's their duty to Krishna. Because that child belongs to Krishna. It is not yours, it is Krishna's. And you have no right to raise that child in any way except according to the will of Krishna. So priorities are very important. Sometimes economic concerns, egoistic concerns, various social concerns divert our attention away from our bhakti. That is ignorance. That is a great mistake. Nothing should divert our attention away from bhakti. We must make our priorities, establish them and keep them, preserve them in every situation in life. Otherwise, we will not get Krishna. Although Yashoda Mai was only running to save that milk for Krishna's pleasure, Krishna wanted to teach the world that she put me down for something else. Therefore, let me teach her a good lesson. So he was a little angry. He was biting his lips with these little teeth that were just growing in. And he went into the next room and he broke a butter pot. Just broke it. And the butter came out and he started eating it. Hare Krishna. And because he was so small, you know, the butter was spilled all over. And then after eating it, he went because he saw another butter pot. And in the next room, he climbed up a wooden grinding mortar that Yashoda Mai would grind spices. He climbed up on that grinding mortar and got another pot of butter hanging from the rafters and started eating that. And then he called the monkeys, "Come, come, nice fresh butter today." And the monkeys all came ecstatically enlivened. They came running to Krishna. And Krishna was personally distributing to them. And Krishna's cowherd boyfriends also, they were there, and he was distributing to them. So Yashoda Mai, after saving the milk, she came back and she saw Krishna was gone. And she looked and she saw a pot of butter, broken. Ah, who could have done this? It was an obvious conclusion. And where to find Krishna? That was not difficult. Because when Krishna was eating the butter, he was stepping in the butter. And when he walked, there were these tiny little beautiful footprints made out of butter. And she was detective following the footprints. And she came into the next room and she was kind of hiding behind a pillar as she was seeing. There was Krishna feeding the gopas and the monkeys butter. And while he was doing it, he was looking with very fearful eyes. He kept looking back because he was afraid to be caught. So Yashoda Mai was just smiling. Krishna looked so much afraid, apprehensive. And then the monkey saw her, and they were really it was very difficult. Immediately they all ran through the windows and through the doors, and all the gopas came out. And then Krishna saw Yashoda Mai standing with a stick, and he ran. And she ran, and he ran, and she ran, and he ran, and she ran, and he ran, and she ran, and he ran. And she had these beautiful flowers in her hair. And as she was running, her flowers started coming down and falling on her feet. The reason is that the flowers, they were saying that Krishna, who is the supreme worshipable object of everyone, the Lord of all lords, Krishna's running away from Yashoda. What power Yashoda Mai has? So they were thinking, we don't deserve to be on the head of Mother Yashoda. We should be falling at her feet in surrender. So with this mood, the flowers were falling from her hair and falling on her feet in a spirit of worship. And her dress was becoming loosened. And somehow or other, Krishna allowed himself to be caught by Yashoda Mai. Kali Ivana couldn't catch him. Hiranyakashipu couldn't catch him. Hiranyaksha couldn't catch him. The greatest yogis cannot catch him. Even yogis who have the mystic powers that they could simply by their meditational prowess, they can transfer themselves to any planet in the universe within a moment. This is a city, one of the mystic cities. You can just transfer yourself. When Prabhupada was at the Kumbh Mela in Prayag, he was explaining that there are yogis who live high in the peaks of Himalayas, Badrinath, Kedarnath.
And they go on the Alaknanda,
or one of the rivers, Ganga, and they go underwater, and by their mystic powers, they go underwater in Badrinath, and they come up second later in Prayag.
Hare Krishna.
Sometimes you can see, well, there's just nobody in the water. All of a sudden you see somebody come up. It's old sadhu taking bath. He's come from thousands of miles away. So this is yogis. And other yogis, they can actually transport themselves, easy journey to other planets, to other planets. You know, they don't need all these NASA, Cape Canaveral space shuttles. They just chant a mantra. They're on the moon. They're in Mars. They're in Venus. Who wants these planets? They go to heavenly abodes. They can actually live there. Prabhupada said, even if they go to the moon, what will they do there? They don't have the karmic qualities to actually enter into the abode of Chandradev. So they'll just look at some craters and pick up some dirt and come back. Tens and billions of dollars just to put a lump of dirt in a museum. Hare Krishna. If they went, Prabhupada explained in various ways. So the yogis, they have great powers of speed, but none of them can catch Krishna. And the intellectual scholars, they cannot grasp Krishna. But Yashoda Mai caught Krishna. She wasn't a great yogi. She wasn't a great scholar. She wasn't an athlete. She was just a simple mother, but she had love. Krishna can only be realized through that love, devotion. And that little Krishna, he was so scared. Kunti Devi explains in her prayers that fear personified is fearful of Krishna. But Krishna is afraid of Yashoda. Kunti Devi is thinking, what a wonderful meditation this is. It's inconceivable. No one can understand. Achintya. Krishna says in Gita, I am death personified. Who in this world is afraid of death? Who in this world is not afraid of death? Now, what are we afraid of? Krishna. Death is Krishna. Time I am, devouring all things. Time is a manifestation of Krishna. Death is inevitable due to the power of Krishna in the form of time. All devouring. Virat Rupa. In the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna manifests his universal form. And even Arjuna was terrified seeing it. And he was not a man to be terrified. He was Kshatriya. All these bodies were just going into his flaming mouths, being devoured. The sun and the moon were his eyes. The oceans, the mountains. Everything was within his form. The entire universal creation was within this form. And it was just all devouring everything. That universal form is simply an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of an expansion in the material sense of little Gopal, who's trembling, and literally his little limbs are just trembling. And there's tears pouring from his eyes, causing the mascara, kajal, that Yashoda Mai put on his eyes. And there were these black, beautiful black streaks of tears coming down all over his face and his body. His lips were quivering. And he said to his mother, please don't hurt me. Please don't hurt me. I promise I will never do it again. I did it. I confess. You know how when you go before a judge, if you confess, then you may get some leniency. If you deny it and you have to go through the whole process of trial and then you're found guilty, then the judge is really mad and sentence you maximum. But if you confess and say, actually, I did it, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I won't do it again, then the judge, oh, you're a little honest, so you're pleading for leniency. That's what plea bargain means. Plea bargain means Venkata Bhatta, he's very enlivened by this discussion. He is in law school at George Washington University. So, plea bargain means you admit certain things and beg for mercy. So that's what Krishna was doing. The original plea bargain. He's telling Yashoda, I did it, I confess. Please don't hurt me. Please don't punish me. And Yashoda Maya, how could she think of anything except Krishna's pleasure? But she had other duties to perform. So she was thinking that Krishna may hurt himself. He's a very restless child. I will tie him up with rope. And since that grinding mortar was his accomplice in the crime, she bound him to the grinding mortar. That was her idea. So she got nice rope, nice soft silken rope. And she went to put it around Krishna's waist. Krishna's waist was only in circumference. And she got a rope twice that size, and she bound it around him and went to tie it, but it was two fingers too short. So this was mysterious. The rope is bigger than him, and it's too short. So she went and got another rope and tied it to the original rope and went to tie it around him, and it was two fingers too short. And she got another and another and another. She got all the rope in Nanda Maharaja's house. That rope was probably about 100 yards long. And she went to wrap it around Krishna's waist, and it was two fingers too short. There were all different color ropes. Then the gopis of Vrindavan, they were happy to see this pastime. It was inconceivable. You cannot conceive it. With our material minds, this is an impossible phenomenon. All the gopis were bringing all the ropes from all their homes and tying it to the original ropes. And every time they tied it around, it was two fingers too short. Krishna's waist was not expanding. And the ropes were not shrinking. So how could it be? Is there any physicists here or scientists who can explain how this is possible? You have a rope 2 feet. You add 1,000 ropes of 2 feet each. Then how many feet of ropes do you have? Any mathematicians? 2,000 feet of rope. And Krishna's little waistline is the same size. Yashoda Mai can easily, when she embraces him, she can embrace Krishna and Balaram together with her arms, effortlessly. But on this day, no matter how many ropes, it was always two fingers too short. What a beautiful, beautiful pastime. Yashoda Mai was working so hard. She was perspiring like anything, trying to protect Gopal. Meanwhile, everyone was just laughing. That's all that it was unbelievable. And because Gopal saw that her parental affection was so deep, she wouldn't give up trying to tie him up because she had to do other chores and she wanted him to be safe. The whole pastime is simply an expression of her pure motherly love. So then Krishna surrendered. And he allowed himself to be tied with the knot of Yashoda's love. He Bhaktiya mama bijanati yavan yashchasmi tatpata. It is only by devotion that Krishna can be known. He is bhakta vatsal. He is conquered by the love of his devotee. And it is only by such devotion that he can be known as he is. So 100% of our spiritual progress is simply dependent on Krishna's mercy, which comes through his name, comes through the spiritual masters, comes through the devotees. We are beggars, begging for mercy. That is the mood of all the great acharyas. They are simply begging for mercy. King Prataparudra, he was king of Orissa with such wealth, such power, such prestige. But to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he was willing to give up his kingdom and become a beggar on the streets. Lord Chaitanya, his heart softened, and he decided to give King Prataparudra his unlimited mercy when he saw the king taking the humble position of sweeping the street before Jagannath and the Vaishnavas. Krishna is perfect and complete. He is Atmarama. He is completely self-satisfied. He is Ram, the reservoir of all pleasure. But by his own sweet will, he has a great longing. He has a great need to taste the nectar of the love of his devotees. Srimati Radharani is the supreme original of all devotees. She is the very reservoir of all love. In Vrindavan, people are very fond of chanting the names of Sri Radharani because they know that her love conquers Krishna. And to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, assisting in her love for Krishna, that is the way by which we can actually receive the mercy of Krishna. That is the most profound and glorious, elevated process, to be the servant of the servant of the servant. Do you think Krishna is pleased when we are envious toward each other? Krishna tells Arjuna, you can only understand me because you're not envious. If somebody's doing something better than ourselves, being more empowered by Krishna than us, if somebody is somehow or other getting more favor from Krishna than us, we become envious. We try to somehow or other compete in the spirit. What will you gain? You may gain some prestige and some position in this world, but you lose Krishna. What pleases Krishna? What pleases the spiritual master? That should be our only criteria of what is valuable. Krishna is never pleased with envy, with ego, with attachment. Krishna is pleased by devotion. Krishna is pleased when whoever we are, we identify ourselves as helpless, insignificant beggars, begging for his mercy. That was Prabhupada's glory. Jaladuta, poems that he wrote. He's identifying himself as lowly, fallen, insignificant, helpless. Please, Krishna, I want to serve you. I want to serve my Guru Maharaj, but I have no power to do so. Please be merciful. So a devotee does not want to attain elevated positions in this world. A devotee does not want to become God. A devotee follows the teaching of Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya. Nadanam na janam na sundarim kabitam vajagadisha kamaye. Mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatak bhakti rohaite kitvai.
I do not want wealth.
People are mad for wealth. When we travel around the world, we see how people are so much worried, how people are in so much stress, how people are working so hard, putting so much of their life's energies to somehow or other get some wealth. Have you seen? Go into the cities. People are in the trains and in the subways, and on airplanes, and traffic jams, buildings, office buildings higher and higher and higher and higher into the sky. It's mad for money. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma. They're mad. Mahaprabhu says, I don't want wealth. Hare Krishna. And I don't want company of the opposite sex, however beautiful they may be. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati in one, Thakur in one place says, I do not desire the lovely maid posy. Doesn't care for these things. The whole world is mad after the attractions of sex life. They watch the television, they go to the cinema houses, they go read magazines. Just, people just survey with their eyes creation, looking for some object to somehow or other find some satisfaction in seeing and touching. Utilizing one's senses. So this Martuna Agara, the bondage of sex life, is the hard knot that keeps everyone contained within the prison house of material existence. But Mahaprabhu says, I don't want insignificant, irrelevant. And people are very interested in power and prestige and having followers and having people respect you. I don't want it. Amani na manadena. I don't want any respect. I don't want any followers. I don't want any prestige. I don't want my name in history books. Na janam na janam. Na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye. Mama janamani janmanishwari. I don't even want liberation. People are suffering. Nobody likes to suffer. People pray to God when they suffer. Sometimes when things are happy, when things are going very nicely, we either forget God or we, as a formality, will chant our rounds, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. But when we're suffering, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, save me, save me. Suffering is one of the blessings of the world because it turns people to God in a helpless, dependent state. Nobody likes it, but that's why it's good. So we want freedom from suffering. Mahaprabhu said, I don't want freedom from suffering. I only want to serve you birth after birth after birth. And how to serve you? In another beautiful verse, Naham vipronacha narapatir napi vaishana shudra. What position he's not concerned with? The spirit. Gopi bhartur padakamala yora das das anodas. To be the servant of the servant of the servant. To please you, my Lord. To beg for your mercy, my Lord. That is my life. That is bhakti. To realize the eternal truth. That we are in all circumstances, in all places, and at all times, completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Even in material existence, we cannot survive without the mercy of the Lord. And to know the Lord, to see the Lord, to enter into the pastimes of the Lord, is the natural desire of every soul. And that is only accessible through the mercy of the spiritual master, the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Because it is through this medium that the Lord manifests his mercy in this world. And with this consciousness, we can attain the ultimate destination by chanting his names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra ki jai.